like in a day before the
Thank you guys so much for being here. I am, when we were in the main session, I looked over at Lizzie, who's with me today, and I said, I hope at least one person comes and wants to hear about single parent ministry. So the fact that more than one of you is here is super exciting to me. I will just tell you very briefly about myself, and then we'll get right into the do's and don'ts of single parent ministry. And specifically what we're going to talk about is the why behind single parent ministry. Can you tell me how many in the room are currently in single parent ministry right now? You are currently leading in single parent ministry. Okay, so about half of you. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the why and how. And for some of you that are already leading in ministry, it's just great to be reminded about why you do what you do. And I think that even the speaker was speaking today about the why. Why do we do what we do? It's because of our love for Jesus. But my name is Jennifer. I am from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, so I'm just right over next door to you guys, and my family is from East Texas, and so I feel like I'm right at home with you. And Holly and I connected some time back. I run the Life of a Single Mom Ministries, and our organization was founded 10 years ago. We have now worked with a little bit over 1,500 churches around the country, and my passion, literally what keeps me up at night, is ensuring that single parents don't walk alone. There are some statistics on single parents that I'll share with you today, and many of you know these things, but just to remind you of the crisis that we're facing in our country right now in regards to single parent homes. I do have a husband back home who is so generous with my time to let me come and be with you guys, and I do this full time, and we have a staff of six in the Baton Rouge area, and all we do is travel and share about single parent ministry. And really, I want to start by saying to you, thank you for what you do. I know some of you are in full-time ministry and some of you are working full-time jobs, and you are parents, and you are balancing all types of things in your life. You're volunteering to do this, and I just want to stop and thank you. I know your churches appreciate you. I know that those people that you serve appreciate you. And you may not always get a thank you. If you're in it for the thank you, then you might want to get into another line of work, because you are not going to always get that. But it truly is, as the speaker was saying, a matter of life and death for many of the people you'll come in contact with. And so there are about 15 million single parents in the country today. 15 million. It is the fastest growing demographic in the country. And so all statistics say that this number will continue to rise. Single parents are parenting about 25 million children. And so whether you're passionate about children or passionate about single parents, we see that this is a huge demographic in our country, a modern day mission field by all accounts. We think about things like social justice issues that we hear about all the time, human trafficking. We talk about crime prevention. We talk about education. I can share with you the statistics on why ministering to single parents will eradicate some of the poor statistics we see in our country. So things like 1 in 3 single moms in our country lives below the poverty line. So when we think about a mom raising her children alone, 1 in 3 lives below the poverty line. Almost 80% of all of the government assistance that's being utilized today in our country is being utilized by single parent families. We think about a child of a single parent, they are 10 times more likely to drop out of high school than that of a dual parent family. And they are 5 times more likely to commit suicide. 78% of everybody that is in prison today was raised by a single mom. 78%. I just want you to, you start quoting statistics and it can just become mind-boggling, but think about that. 8 out of 10 people that are in prison today were being raised by a single mom. Perhaps for me, the most staggering statistic is that about 2 out of 3 single parents in this country don't go to church anywhere. 2 out of 3. And so here we have one of the fastest growing sectors of the population, and 2 out of 3 of them do not believe that the church is a place where they can find solace and hope and peace and acceptance. So this is the mission field. If you need to be motivated by something, when I talk with people every day and I hear about things like education and how passionate we are about getting our children educated, and we hear about things like crime prevention and drug addiction and abuse, and I could go on and on. Trust me, we could stay here all day talking about statistics that are ingrained in my brain, because I think about the children that they represent. I think about the mothers and the fathers that they represent that are overwhelmed. They're exhausted. They are doing the very best that they can do, but they need us as the body of Christ to step up. Do you know what's really sad to me? That less than 1% of all of the Christian churches in our country have anything formal for single parents. And so if Houston First Baptist is your church, you need to give your church a hand clap that they are doing that job. So you need to hand clap right now. That would be your cue. Thank them for what they're doing, because they are in the minority. And 10 years ago when I started doing the ministry, we began to see that almost all of my time was spent in the education process of why this is important. And so almost all of our time was just, you need to be doing single parent ministry, not the whys and hows, but just the why. And now we're beginning to see a shift where more and more churches are saying, hey, we've got a whole demographic of single parents and we're not really reaching them. Mm-hmm. Now, I was talking earlier to some of your lead team about your groups here at Houston First Baptist, and you have about 125 to 150 that come out to the monthly birthday bashes, and I know that you have gatherings. I would say to you this, in love, complete love, if you have 8,000 members, and you only have 150 single parents, you have a huge opportunity. Because I can guarantee you, without knowing your demographic at all, I know that there are more single parents sitting in the pews on Sunday that are not yet connected. And so for you, being in this group, you're here for single parent ministry, you should be really excited about that. The market's not tapped out for you. You've got plenty of opportunities to reach people that are desperate for the love of Jesus. And I want to say this to you. We're in the Bible Belt. I mean, we're in the South. A lot of people here have some type of foundation of Christ. They have a grandmother that went to church. They have some type of reference to the local body of Christ. The problem with single parent families is very often they've been hurt by the church. And so we have our work cut out for us in terms of how to now navigate these people who have been hurt because either they were going to church as a couple and then they went through a divorce and perhaps the spouse continued at one church so they didn't feel like they had a church home. Or maybe they're embarrassed because they went through a divorce. Maybe they had a child outside of marriage and that was an embarrassment to them. I don't know what their story is. But for whatever reason, we know that Satan is a master manipulator that tells them that they do not belong here, which makes our job that much more difficult. And so what we have to do is begin to think about how to be strategic to reach the very, very large group that is not yet here. And if there's nothing else that you remember about what I say, I have no idea what's on my notes. I'll get to those in just a few minutes. But if you don't remember anything else that I say, I would tell you this. When you're planning single parent ministry and you're thinking about ways to be creative and grow in your ministry, I want you to think about those that have not yet come to your ministry. Because if you make decisions based on the ones that are already attending, those people would come if you have a Bible study on Tuesday at 6 a.m. They're already sold out. They're already connected. They're already excited about the fellowship. What you want to do is think through strategies of those that aren't connected to make your ministry the most attractive and welcoming for those. And it's the most difficult of things to transition back into church if you've not been there for a while. So I want to ask you this question. When I say the term single mom, single dad, single parent, what's the first thing that pops in your mind? What's the first picture that pops in your mind? I want to challenge you that whatever that picture is that pops into your mind, there are 10 other demographics that you didn't just think of. And so when you think of single parent, you automatically think of your point of reference. Perhaps you are a single parent. Perhaps that's what your passion was birthed from, is that you know what your own experience has been and it's really compelled you to bring others into the body of Christ because of what you've experienced. Maybe you were raised by a single mom and you saw how hard it was for her and how she struggled and she really pushed through and she was such an inspiration to you. Or maybe you have been widowed or you know someone in your family that's been widowed. All of us have our point of reference. For some of us, we think single mom is the young teen mom who had a child outside of marriage and she's 18 and she's kind of struggling through life. For others of us, we think about the 50-year-old widow. I don't know what your point of reference is, but I want to encourage you that when you're developing single parent ministry, you have to think about all of those demographics, not just one. Because very often, and we were talking about this earlier at dinner, very often the younger demographic between 15 and 25 are the ones that are not in our churches. Those are the ones that we're looking to reach. And then what happens is the older demographic, 45 plus, feels like nobody understands them and that everyone's left them out. Isn't that exactly what Satan does as he divides and conquers? He tells us we don't fit in anywhere. He tells all of us that, right? I mean, it's not just single parents. But because single parents have been so hurt, the devastation of a divorce, they did not expect to be where they are. There's not one single parent that you will ever talk to who says, this is exactly where I expected to be in my life at this point, right? None of them expected to be there. And so here they are, they're navigating through that devastation, or maybe they had a child outside of marriage and they were raised in church, and so the shame that they've carried for years, that Satan has told them that they are never going to be good enough, they continue to carry and they mask. And so they go through the motions on Sunday mornings of trying to fit in and trying to clean up and trying to be perfect just like we all do, and yet they're carrying the weight of the world, and then they have to go home and parent children alone. How many of you in the room are parents? Okay, keep your hand up if you're a single parent. Okay, so a lot of you are. The difficulties, I just came out of parenting teenagers. praise God, I said I just came out of parenting tantrums. The difficulty of being married and going through the parenting teenage years, I thought all it did was renewed my passion for single parents once again. When I thought about how they are balancing work and carpool and making decisions about finances and making decisions about where their children will go to school or who's going to pick them up for school, 1,000 things that most of us make as two-parent households. That's where they are. And do you know what many of them feel? They feel that on Sunday mornings, the pastor is only preaching to the real families, right? That's what they feel. They may not tell you that, but if you're a single parent in the room, you felt that at some time or another, that you felt like the pastor only talks to the married couples. And that's what happens is a lot of times they date the church. They come a few times, and if something is spoken on that they don't feel comfortable with or they felt like one little thing went wrong, they fall back away again. And so it is a very fluid ministry. I want to be honest with you about that. It's something that's going to be ever evolving. You may have single parent ministry. We have 525 on our roster at our local single parents ministry back in Baton Rouge. And there are weeks when we will have 40 that will show up. And there are weeks when several hundred will show up. And you say, you know, it's always kind of a moving gauge, because there are all types of things that are going on in their lives. So understand that success in ministry doesn't always mean numbers. We know that. We know it means changed lives. We know it means seeds planted that we may or may not ever see the fruit of. But understand that the success in ministry is also about reaching the number of single parents that don't even know that you exist. And so let's talk about some reasons why we do single parent ministry. This is staggering to me. If a church has a single parent support group, let me tell you, we surveyed nationally single parents around the country. 94%, almost everybody, felt more empowered after attending a single parent support group. They felt like they could do it. 72% of the single parents that came to one support group attended at least 8 or more meetings. So what that says is once they get plugged in, they find family. They find a church home, and they normally will stay if you're doing it well. 78% said that partnering with a local church made them more likely to join. In other words, you can have a community group that is not partnered with a local church or one that is, and they are more likely, even though it's one of the most unchurched demographics in the country, they are more likely to attend church. I recently had a young lady to tell me she had fallen away from church. She was raised in church. She had a child outside of marriage. She really began to question God, and she said, I had not been to church in a long time, and someone said, hey, there's a single parent support group across town. Will you come with me? She didn't even know that it was in a church. She didn't even know that it was Bible-based, but what compelled her to come was that somebody said, other single moms are gathering across town. Do you want to come? They have free food and childcare. And so that was all it took for her to get there. And she began to share the story later. She's been involved in the ministry for about 3 years now, and she recently shared with us her testimony, and she said, I had no idea that night that God was going to change my life. It was what I needed to reconnect with the Father that I knew from years ago that I thought had forgotten me and left me. That's why we do what we do. 1 in every 5 single moms that participates in a support group starts a savings account and improves her financial situation. Now, why do I mention that? That's not the focus. We're in ministry. We're trying to draw people into Jesus. We're trying to disciple them and help them grow their relationship with the Lord. But most of the time, what single parents will tell you is that they struggle in two areas: parenting and finances. Almost every time, the first touch that the church has through your counseling center or however your pastoral care system works is that they're coming into the church because they're having difficulty with parenting their children alone, or they need help financially, they're drowning financially. That's almost almost all of our calls, that's the first two things. But what we have found is that emotionally and spiritually, if we can help them get those two factors right, overcome the difficulties of unforgiveness and bitterness and anger, if we can get those things right and remind them how much God loves them and that He does see them and that He hasn't given up on them, then their parenting and finances begin to work out. And I really believe it's because they can make those decisions better, and we have hard data to support that. And so when you're thinking about the overall single parent and how you're improving their lives, don't forget that there's a lot of practical things that you can teach and do in your single parent ministry, okay? So time is flying. We do not have much more time. This is interesting, too. 80% of all of the single parents that we surveyed that attended a single parent support group said that it helped them develop professionally. When people gather, they grow. And so whether they're looking for the best babysitter across town, whether they're looking for a second job, whether they're looking for a roommate because they're having difficulty paying their rent, it doesn't matter. They develop and they grow. And so even the single parents are